Welcome to the Marty and Laura Show. We're so excited to be joining you. We're here to talk about your dogs, your cats, and maybe even some small critters. Anything you've got a question?
We've got answers for all of it.
The Marty and Laura Show is brought to you by Veterinary Village. With locations throughout Wisconsin, Veterinary Village is dedicated to enhancing the quality of animal and human lives today and into the future.
Welcome to the Marty and Laura Show, everybody. Marty, how you doing?
I'm great. Thank you.
Excellent. I just want to let the listeners know here in June, I am in a long sleeve flannel shirt and a vest because it's 60 degrees and raining in Oregon. And Marty is in a different environment.
Slightly. I'm in northern Minnesota and it's hotter than you know what here. Hard to believe it's going to be in the mid-90s tomorrow. We are having thunderstorms, mid-90s, so you can imagine what the humidity is. It's lovely here. Does delightful. Wonderful things for your
delightful.
Dogs and your hair.
And, yeah. And it's good for the complexion, they tell me.
Yeah. Yeah, when sweat is rolling off
lots
of you.
Lots of sweat. It's great for the complexion. Yeah. Cleans the pores.
Very becoming. Yeah, you don't have to pay to go. Okay, so I went to Finland last year and I learned that a sauna is not a sauna. It's pronounced sauna. The Finnish people are very specific. They said, we have one word that you have to pronounce correctly in English and you can't get it right. It's not sauna, it's sauna. So I was in a Minnesota sauna today outside with another several hundred people.
Of your
dogs.
Best friend. Yeah, great.
Great.
Yeah, awesome. Great. All right. Well, there you go. So this is a perfect lead in to what's coming up and what our topic is today, which is the 4th of July, fireworks, how to manage our pets during the time of year where loud banging noises, whether it's fireworks or thunderstorms or any of those things, they're real and they happen. And Marty has some really great suggestions. So you made a comment to me last week when we were together that I thought was so great. We were talking about our phobias, your fear of heights, my claustrophobia. And you're like, we don't know why we have these phobias. Dogs don't know why they have their phobias either. And I just thought that was such a genius comment that I'd never really kind of spun it that way in my head. So can you expand on that a little bit for me?
Well, I'll try. I mean, the point is that I'm afraid of heights. I know I'm not going to fall. I know I'm okay. I get that. But there's something really visceral and really guttural that every sphincter in my body tightens up and I get nervous and upset. And there's a certain things I don't handle well. And so it's hard to explain to anybody that because my friends around me are like, what's wrong with you? You're not going to fall over the cliff. You're not going to fall over the edge. You're fine. I'm like, okay, my head says I'm fine. My gut says I'm not.
My heart rate definitely tells me I'm going to die and run out of oxygen in contained spaces.
Right. And so, I mean, that's kind of the thing is we have to realize that it's a real true gut reaction. And when you say you think with your gut or you feel with your gut, what's your gut reaction? I think it's really important that we realize that our gut is part of our nervous system and it's probably a very important organ in all of that. So when you feel like you have a gut feeling, believe it. And don't dish your dog for saying, well, what's wrong with you? You shouldn't be afraid of that. It's just thunder. It's just lightning. It's just fireworks. It's just, you know, whatever. It's just the vet. It's just the groomer. It's just the car. It's whatever it happens to be. Right. It is not just. It is a visceral, true, guttural response that your dog or cat cannot overcome. You can try to do some training. You can try to do some counter conditioning. There's all kinds of stuff people try to undo by training. But sometimes it takes some pharmaceutical agents to sort of accelerate this timeline of getting through those things. I was just doing a bunch of phone consults this afternoon, and those are the things I was talking to people about is your dog cannot help it. But they also know when you're upset. And so I think that's a really interesting other piece to it is
huge.
If you're nervous around a thunderstorm or around certain things, your dog is picking up on that. Your cat is picking up on that. So be aware that even if you try to act really cool, you're not that cool.
They know. Better living through pharmaceuticals is not really a bad motto for some of these things, right?
Right. And if you can shorten the learning curve and make it easier for them to go to the vet, go to the groomer, walk down the street around other dogs, go to the agility trial, whatever it happens
to be.
Go to
the dog show.
Yeah, whatever. You know, if you can shorten the learning curve and make it easier for your dog to get through that, your life is going to be better. You are not going to counter your condition your dog between now and 4th of July to not be afraid of the fireworks. It's not going to happen. It may take years. It may take a lifetime. So don't beat yourself up. Don't be critical of your dog's ability or inability to adjust. Just simply call your veterinarian, ask for some help. Most of them are well versed in what kind of things that they can help you with. And don't rely on Benadryl, because Benadryl is not anti-anxiety. It's antihistamine, so it helps with allergic reactions, but it doesn't make them less anxious. It just makes them fall asleep or look like they're falling asleep so that they're still panicking on the inside. Acepromazine is the same way. For years, acepromazine was the drug that veterinarians were taught to reach for because it was supposed to help. Well, it didn't help them. It just made them paralyzed where they were. So they would curl up under the bed, and they were so afraid they couldn't get up and move because of the drugs. The same with CBD and all the other kind of over-the-counter stuff is right now, we don't have any good research on it. We don't have any data that shows what works, what doesn't work, what batch has what in it. And so until we get some FDA insight into what's appropriate and the consistency of the batches and so forth, we cannot rely on those drugs as veterinarians. So I've seen some really unfortunate outcomes for some of them. So I just can't recommend anything other than the pharmaceutical agents that come from a real drug company with a real drug dose attached to them, with a real drug dose that can be calculated. And I'm not sure why people think that those are bad and somehow something natural is good, because things in nature like mushrooms and digitalis, foxglove can kill you. So everything that's natural isn't necessarily safer. So rely on a drug that your veterinarian prescribes for you. Get it now so that you have a couple of days to get your pet adjusted to it. Expect it. Some of these are controlled substances, so your veterinarian may either not have them in stock and have to send you to a pharmacy with a handwritten prescription, or because some of these are they're controlled substances, some of them we cannot call a pharmacy, email a pharmacy, text a pharmacy, whatever it happens to be. And some of them need a veterinarian to unlock the drug safe at the clinic. So you can't walk in the door, pound your fist on the table, and yell at the receptionist for not being able to just magically have a controlled substance poof appear in their hand. So I think it's important that we know those kind of parameters of what your expectations should be.
So I think it's a really good topic. Again, this podcast is going to hit like a week ahead of the holiday. Like, are we doing pre-dosing? Are we kind of testing it out? Like, this much is too much or this much is not enough? Like, how do you like titrate that?
Sure. And so I want to start off with kind of the basic premise of the two categories of drugs that I look at when I'm looking at drugs for dogs. There's one drug class that works very quickly, actually, several drug classes in that category of drugs that work quickly. They work really well for episodes, for the episode of the fireworks, the thunderstorm, the trip to the vet, the trip to the groomer, whatever it happens to be. They are used in the
Specific
short term.
finite. Yeah.
They're used in the short term. They give you very quick onset, very quick effects. They may make them a little drowsy, and that may not necessarily be a bad thing because they don't have to drive a car and they don't have to stay awake at work. And so it's not necessarily a bad thing. Some of them are diazepines like Valium, and people are afraid of those drugs because back in the 60s they got a little bit misused when our mothers and grandmothers were,
Falling
doing
asleep
things.
in their chicken salad.
Yeah, something like that. But remember that dogs don't have a key to the safe. A dog doesn't have, the ability to unlock or go open the medicine chest and get their own out. So they can't just say, "I'm having a really bad day. I want a couple of extra doses." Your dog doesn't have an addiction problem the way people do. So number one, shelf that. Number two is we have some long-acting drugs that do a really good job on generalized anxiety or reactivity or a number of the other kinds of disorders that we commonly see in dogs. And I think it's important that you realize it takes sometimes 6 to 12 weeks for those drugs to kick in and really get to the level we want. And every drug has a dose range. There's never a, this is an exact amount. It's not an antibiotic. This is a pharmaceutical agent that affects the nervous system. So some dogs react differently than others to those drugs. And in fact, when I was at some of the conferences that I've been to, there was some really interesting discussion that the Australian dogs seem to react to drugs differently than the American dogs.
Oh,
So it
wow.
makes you kind of think about, yeah, I mean, there's some regional differences. There's some definite things that are going on here. So you can't walk into your vet clinic, expect one drug dose at the exact amount to work on the first try. It may take a cocktail of drugs, so it may take two or three together. It may take an adjustment of the drug dose. We always start low and work up because you can always give more, but you can't get it back once it's in their system. So we'll start with a range of maybe like 10 to 20 milligrams per kilogram or 0.5 to 1.5. So we have these ranges as veterinarians, and different dogs and different breeds are going to react differently. When I've had some issues with some of my farm dogs, I tried them on trazodone, didn't touch them. Mm. Nothing was different. I put them on gabapentin and they went from being, oh my God, I'm going to die in this situation, to grabbing an entire hot dog and swallowing it whole, because the anxiety went whoop and the dog went, yes, a hot dog. So everybody's a little bit different. We're all our own little chemistry labs, even our own breeds, even our own lines of dogs in our breed, mm-hmm. are their own little chemistry labs. So you can't assume that you know what the exact dose is going
sure.
to be.
Sure.
And it may take a few trials before you get the right dose or the right cocktail to work.
Okay, that's really good to know.
Doggett simplifies the puppy buying journey by connecting families with the perfect breed and responsible, health-verified breeders. They are the only breeder marketplace that verifies health clearances and responsible breeding practices. Through their personalized puppy matcher tool and matchmaker services, they educate and guide buyers every step of the way, ensuring a seamless process and a perfect match for their lifestyle. From initial breed consultation to introductions with top breeders, Doggett makes responsible puppy ownership easy and stress-free.
What you were talking about in terms of letting them experience a situation, whatever the situation is they're having a problem with, in a slightly altered state, helps them understand they're going to be okay. There is no
right.
nothing scary. And so that then at a future date, you may be able to work them to the point that they don't need to be in an altered state to have that particular experience. Is that
right.
what I'm hearing from you also?
Exactly. That over the course of time, with some desensitization, some counter conditioning, whatever term you want to use for it, that over the course of time with the pharmaceutical agents on board, you can slowly back them off of those and they can learn to adjust to that setting so that they're not in a state of anxiety or a state of gut reaction that mm-hmm. something terrible is about to happen to them.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to respect our dogs and our cats and understand that they're not kidding around. They're truly, genuinely having a phobia or a panic attack or whatever classification you want to make it. I mean, there's a lot of descriptions. And I spent a week at a behavior course up right. in Canada. It's the third one-week course I've taken over the course of time. And it's taught by Karen Overall and some other really amazing people.
I love Karen Overall.
Yeah, incredible people that are at this conference. Mm-hmm. It's intended to be small. It's intended to be really interactive. But it's also an immersion course. We start at 7 in the morning and we don't finish until after dinner at night. And so we're talking hours and hours and hours of this. But you have to realize that there's a huge number of descriptive terms that may be used correctly, may be used incorrectly. Mm-hmm. You may have a veterinarian that's familiar with some of these, maybe not familiar. Some of the drugs may be different to them. But kind of the basic premise of what came out of the course is anything that you do with any of these drugs is better than doing nothing.
Mm-hmm.
So even if you have a veterinarian that's not willing to try 6 different drugs, but they'll try 1 or 2 with you, mm-hmm. or if they'll send you to somebody that can help you, mm-hmm. realize that that's at least a really good start. And there's a lot of nuances to these drugs. There are cocktails you can use and cocktails mm-hmm. that you can't. And there's just a lot of information out there. And so I'm trying to put this together in a format
right.
that makes sense.
So here's one. This is a question I've heard. It's a question I've asked, frankly. And I don't know if there's a medical reason for it. And now we're going to find out. People that go hunting with their dogs are not gun shy. You shoot a bird, they go get the bird. They don't blink at the gun. And then mm-hmm. there's a fireworks or a thunderstorm or whatever it is. And they're hiding under the bed shaking.
Uh-huh.
And I have heard a lot of old wives' tales. These guys are like, it's gun shy, blah, blah, blah. It's going to be gun shy, whatever it is. And they're not. So what medically is different about the situation?
Well, I'm not sure if it's medical or
ideas,
if it's just,
but I'm curious.
Yeah. I think a lot of it's physiological. With fireworks, there's flashes in the sky. They're unpredictable. There's all this stuff going on. Some are loud, some are not. Some are bright, some are not. You know, there's a lot of variation to what goes on out there. Mm. With a gun, you have your dog focused on a bird, on a dummy, or whatever it happens to be that you're, you know, that you're training with. Your dog is focused on that. You've done some conditioning work to get them ready to mm-hmm. pick up the bird or pick up the dummy that you're training with, whatever you're happening to do. And so the dog has a focal point and it's just one sound. It is the sound and they associate it with something really positive, like I get to go pick up the bird.
Right.
This is cool. Fireworks, what is positive about that if you're a dog? Nothing. You don't get anything in reward for that. And thunderstorms are even worse because they're not only unpredictable, but now there's rain. And some dogs don't like being in the rain. And, you know, sometimes you're out there and it starts to pour and you don't get in the door quick enough.
The electricity. I think that there is a lot about thunderstorms that has to do with like the whole ionization of the air. Like dogs feel things. And I'm just curious if there's like any, here I am doing my, you know, amateur doctor thing. Like, is there any science behind that? Or I just think it because it's cool.
Yeah, I think it's probably because it's cool. But there's also barometric pressure changes.
Right.
And we had tornadoes a number of years ago where we are. We have tornadoes all the time. But there was a really bad one a number of years ago. I had clients that came in and said, my dog was hiding in the closet for 3 days before it happened. Because they knew, based on barometric pressure changes and all those things, that this was coming. And so dogs see the flashes of lightning. They hear the thunder. They get the rain, the actual feeling of the rain, the ionization, all the stuff that goes with it. Mm-hmm. And then dogs back chain. They start to learn that, okay, first it started with raindrops, and then it went to raindrops and thunder, and then went to raindrops and this lightning, this flash of stuff in the sky that I don't understand. And now I start to feel barometric pressure changes. And so they start to know, like, they're better than the weatherman. Well, now Doppler's pretty good, but for years, dogs were better at predicting the weather than the weatherman was. Right. And they start to backchain. They start to learn the events that are going to happen before the event, before the event, before the event. So they start to predict some of these things. And the same thing happens when your dog has any other kind of, maybe it's separation anxiety. Mm-hmm. They start to learn that you're going to leave. You leave, they get upset. You start to put on your shoes, they get upset because you're putting on your shoes and they know that means you're going to leave. They know that you're picking up your keys and putting on your shoes and they know that you're going to leave. And they know all this stuff so maybe you get your lunch out of the refrigerator. You know, all these things, dogs are watching us every second. Mm-hmm. Doesn't matter what you think they're doing, they're paying attention to every move you make, every bite you eat, everything that happens in your world is happening to them. And that's all they have to do for 24 hours a day is to watch you. You have a job, you have kids, you have all these other things happening in your life. The dog has you. And all they have to do is make observations about you and figure out, okay, when she puts on that pair of shoes, it means we're going to the dog park or we're going to, you know, go have fun. When she puts on that pair of shoes, that means she's going to work and I have to stay here by myself. Don't ever discredit your dog's observation powers. They're incredible.
My favorite is Agatha. We've talked about Agatha before. She's my Spinoni and she's very much, Spinoni as a breed are very empathic and Agatha is very attached to me and she gets very lonely when I'm gone. And she also knows that she's in charge of the house. She's in charge of Kim. She's in charge of the world. And so that's a lot for her to bear. And so
it is.
It is. And
it's a big job.
When I leave, she's anxious, not hysterical, but she worries and she paces around while I pack my suitcase and whatever. So now she's to the point when I come to the office, which is attached to my house, to do these recordings, I've put on
makeup. It's across the breezeway.
Yeah. I've put on makeup. And so that is her cue that I'm leaving, that I've put a face on. And so she knows the world is coming to an end, even though I'm across the breezeway, as you say.
Doesn't matter.
They know stuff.
In her world, that's a big deal.
Yes.
So we have to really understand that our dogs are really attentive to us. Mm-hmm. They spend 24 hours a day watching us. So this is what I tell people. I put the garbage where the dog couldn't get to it. I said, yeah, you spent 30 seconds trying to figure out where the dog, you know, or buying a new garbage can with latches on the lid, or you put it up in this, you know, somewhere that the dog couldn't reach it. Mm-hmm. They spend the next 23 hours and 55 minutes trying to undo what you just did. So don't kid yourself. Your dog's full-time job is figuring out how to undo what you're trying to do. So, and that's okay. I mean, that's one of the things we love about dogs. That's why we live with dogs. Mm-hmm. That's why we live with dogs, people, is because we live in their world and they live in ours. Yes. They're not horses. They're not cows. They're not cats. They're different than that. They live in our world and we communicate in a really interesting way. But don't ever discredit what your dog is thinking and doing. They are way smarter than you ever give them credit for.
So other things that we can do to plan for the upcoming, guaranteed, no matter where you live, there will be fireworks and thunderstorms. And almost certainly there's going to be that crazy dude down the street with his M80s and it's never going to end. And it will start on July 1st and will end on July 31st because these people, that's just how it is.
So, and then it'll start again for New Year's. So
exactly.
Yeah. Yeah, so steps. Go outside
like
first.
Some are the yeah. steps, right? It's our process sure. that we're going
to
do here.
So before you take your dog out to go potty at night, go out first without the dog and make sure that there's nobody in your neighborhood that's lighting up the skies, because I have made the mistake of going out and not realizing what time it was or what was going on in the neighborhood and finding myself in a situation that the dogs were uncomfortable. Scout up first. Ahead of that, make sure your dog has a microchip. Because the number one day for dogs to run away from home is the 4th of July. And we've had a tragedy in our lives that has
read my not mind.
Not in our personal dog, but a dog that we were the breeder of that had a catastrophe happen. So be aware that that happens. So get your dog's microchip and make sure it's registered with your phone number on it. And then get some kind of a tag. Revival makes a buddy ID badge now mm-hmm. that has a QR code on it. You can scan it with your phone and it'll give you the phone number and the information that you need of That's the awesome. Person who lost the dog. But you can buy tags. You can go to the store and there's little engravers at some of the stores and you can have them made right away. My favorite tags are things like I've seen where the dog's name and your phone number is on one side, but the other side says, have your people call my people, or right. call my mom, she's freaking out, or something along those lines that lets people know it's just not a dog and a name. Mm-hmm. This is someone that really is engaged in their dog's life and something bad happened. The door got left open. You know, the neighbor kid came over, or the grandkids opened the door, or, you know, something, the dog bolted because of something.
Thunder happened literally as you open the door to get the mail, whatever it is.
Yeah.
Things
yeah.
happen.
So, yeah. So really plan for those things so that you're ahead of the game. And this has little to do with the fireworks itself, but have a sign on your door at your house, have a sign mm-hmm. on the door of your car, mm-hmm. what your phone number is, so that if somebody finds something going on that they can call you, and then a secondary phone number contact. So, you know, plan for all the eventualities, for the things that can go wrong, because it's never the way you think it's going to go. It's always just that last minute thing. I had some friends that came over to our house a couple of years ago for 4th of July. They opened my front door. My dog bolted out. She ran away. My dear Olga, that is 12 years old now, took off down the street. She wouldn't come back. She was like, I'm having a great time. And when I pulled the door shut, I locked us out of the house. So we couldn't get into the backyard. We couldn't get, because I have a gate on my backyard with a lock on it so that the kids can't get into the pool. So all this stuff happened. If it can go wrong, it will. So just try to plan for all the things that could go wrong and preemptively plan for that. So have a microchip, have a tag, have your collar with your name or the phone number embroidered onto it. You can buy this stuff on Etsy. They're super cute. You can get them customized.
All the
things. You can do some really fun stuff.
Yeah.
And yeah, maybe a little over the top, but is it wrong to have three things? If your dog is in a crate in your car, is it wrong to have the phone number of your vet on it? Of course mm-hmm. not. Mm-hmm. So kind of be belts and suspenders about this stuff. I tend to be just a little over the top when it comes to this kind of thing, because I've seen so many tragic things happen. I probably a little overkill.
Well, and I think too, when we're talking about the medication and we're talking about like we're doing this in steps. So I frequently think about, okay, so it's July 1st. I'm going to maybe give them a little downer because you know at least one Yahoo is going to be shooting something off, right?
For sure.
Right. So we start early to get them prepared. And then your opinion, I am a big fan. If I have a real problem child, right, somebody that's really struggling, mm-hmm. they get a darkened room with music and some white noise and a chew bone and all of the things to go with their happy pill.
Right, right. And it can take sometimes more than one dose to get to the therapeutic level. So you may have to start it on July 1st just to get to the therapeutic level so that on July 4th, they're at their most comfortable. And the things that we use, gabapentin, things like that, before the cat or the dog comes to the veterinary clinic, it usually takes more than one dose. We'll give it the night before and the morning of, and then maybe we'll add some, along with the gabapentin or pregabalin, we may add some alprazolam, we may add some Cilio. There's certainly some things out there that we can use as cocktails. And Cilio, just as an aside, is a tube of medication. It was designed for noise phobias. What would that be called? 4th of July.
Yeah.
And fireworks.
Yeah.
And thunderstorms. So it's meant for noise phobias. And it's a really interesting drug in a really interesting drug class. It's used as an anesthetic agent for dogs and cats. But in the tube, in the gel, you put it in their mouth and they don't have to swallow it. You put it on their gums and it absorbs through the gum and goes directly up the pathway into their brain. So it doesn't get swallowed and metabolized and then spread through the liver and then the bloodstream into the brain. It goes whoop into the brain is like really cool. It was developed in Sweden by some of the ladies that were at the class I was at. So I was sitting in the room with the people who developed this drug.
There you go.
So I feel like I'm, you know, close you to being cool. with someone important.
I have lots of association. Like, I'm cool because I know Marty. Yeah. I'm all about that.
Well, it was pretty cool because I'm in that room.
Yeah.
So the girls the women that developed this drug were in the room with me. And I'm like, wow. Like,
very cool. Yeah.
Pharmaceutical agents like that blow my mind.
Yeah. The other thing that I think of, and maybe you have some other pro tips, I not just check the yard for fireworks when you put them out at night, the next morning before you put the dogs out. If you have those neighbors, do a yard patrol, because I promise you there's going to be some detritus in your yard that you definitely do not want your dog to have.
Exactly. And those can be dangerous for them to pick up and run around with. And of course, the faster you run toward them, the faster they swallow it. So
that is a rule.
Yeah. Yeah. So just a little scouting out there first is always a good idea. You know, a lot of us in the dog show world, we're a little crazy. No, we're a lot crazy. You know those little headlamps that you can buy at the store?
We have several.
Yeah, they have a little, you know, we use them at the dog show so that when you walk dogs at night, you can find the poop and pick it up. But they're really handy out in the yard other times of the year as well. So, you know, $5 worth of a little headlamp with a couple batteries in it will pay you back in dividends. It's a very handy thing to have.
100%. And, you know, the other one that is just seems sort of obvious and doesn't seem like it needs a veterinary reminder, but if you've had a thunderstorm and there's been big wind, or maybe a tornado came through, or maybe a deshero or whatever, right? Before you put the dog out, check the fence.
Yeah, because it might not be there.
Mind-boggling. I mean, mind-boggling to me. The people I know who've just been like, oh no, the dog ran away. I didn't know the tree fell on the fence. Like, look. Like, what? What are you talking about? I do not understand this. This does not compute for me. So
I know.
Speak to them from the veterinary point of view on this one. Like, look.
I really don't think there's much of a veterinarian stand on this.
Seems like maybe somebody smarter than me should say this, but really look at your fence if there's been a storm.
Common sense. Yeah. So yeah, if your fence has a hole in it, your fence blew away, your fence got upended, something came under it. Yeah. Your dog's not going to stay in the yard. So yeah. And why would they? Like, A, there's something more interesting out there than you.
Adventures.
Or there's something scary. And so they take off.
They just run.
You know, and dogs will run. You cannot run as fast as your dog. There's no way you will catch up with them. Even the smallest dog cannot be outrun by a human when they're in a panic mode. So yeah, you need to be prepared. I don't know what else to say other than, you know, plan ahead, man. Just use some common sense and plan ahead.
Yeah. Let's keep our dogs safe this summer, you guys. Meds, a little common sense.
Drugs.
Just saying. Better living through pharmaceuticals, people. All right, Marty. Better living through air conditioning. You have yourself a nice, cool night. We'll talk again soon.
Thank you for joining us on the Marty and Laura Show. We're excited to bring you these unique, fun, fact-based conversations about pet health. From pro tips on selecting your new dog, to what your cat's cough means, and what you should do about it. We'll meet you wherever you are, in the car, on the treadmill, walking the dog. And we'll bring you a good laugh, a great story, and a bright idea every week. We hope you'll join us on social. Stop by the website to sign up for an extra tip of the week for your pet. While you're at it, do us a favor, please, and leave a review wherever you find your podcasts. The Marty and Laura Show is produced by Pure Dog Talk, Inc. Sound design and editing by Premium Audio Services.